All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
All right, welcome to American Vindicta. Let's get straight into it. NATO chief issues major warning for potential of a major war with Russia. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg has warned of a real possibility that the conflict between Russia and Ukraine, now in its 10th month, could draw the 30-member alliance into a major war. Quote, "I fear that the war in Ukraine will go out of control and spread into a major war between NATO and Russia," Stoltenberg told Norway's NRK television channel on December 10th. "If things go wrong, they can go horribly wrong," says Stoltenberg, who previously served as Norway's prime minister. The NATO chief's statements come less than a week after three Russian air bases located deep inside Russian territory, came under attack by drones, killing three servicemen, damaging two aircraft, and prompting fears of retaliation by Moscow. Ukraine has denied responsibility for these attacks. One of the bases reportedly hosts long-range strategic bombers that can be equipped to carry nuclear warheads. The following day, a military airfield near the Russian city of Kursk was the target of a similar drone attack that set an oil tanker ablaze. While Kiev didn't claim responsibility for the attacks, they were widely hailed by Ukrainian military officials. The airbase attacks were immediately preceded by a two-day visit to Kiev by Victoria Nuland, U.S. Undersecretary for Public Affairs. The visit by Nuland, a long-standing critic of the Russian President Vladimir Putin, prompted speculation that Washington had given Kiev the go-ahead for the attacks. Such a scenario, however, was quickly denied by the U.S. State Department spokesman Ned Price. He asserted to reports on December 6 that Washington neither enables nor encourages Ukraine to strike targets beyond its borders. He added that there was no confirmation that the strikes had been carried out by Ukrainian forces. The U.S. is now denying giving endorsement to Ukraine. Eyebrows were raised on December 9th when The Times, a prominent UK daily newspaper, claimed that the Pentagon had given its tacit endorsement to Ukrainian airstrikes on targets inside of Russia. To support its assertion, The Times cited unnamed U.S. defense sources and a former U.S. diplomat and Pentagon policy specialist, Eric Edelman, who called for arming Ukraine with long-range weaponry. Moscow has repeatedly stated that the United States would be deemed a direct party to the conflict if it provided Kiev with long-range weapons capable of striking inside of Russian territory. On December 11th, the United States National Security Council spokesman John Kirby reiterated the position stated by Ned Price. Quote, "We are not encouraging or enabling Ukrainian operations inside Russia." Kirby said this in an interview with ABC News. "We are trying to make sure that they can defend their territory, win back the ground in Ukraine." He also added, according to ABC's official transcript of this interview, in mid-November, the Associated Press cited an unnamed senior U.S. intelligence official who said Russian forces had fired a missile into the territory of NATO, a member of Poland. The claim, which turned out to be false, prompted fears of an imminent clash between Russia and NATO, which is obliged to defend member states should they come under attack. The Associated Press later fired the reporter responsible for what is described as an egregious error. Despite Russian warnings and mounting fears of escalation, the United Kingdom appears to be considering the provision of long-range weapon systems to the Ukrainian military. When directly asked about the issue on December 12th, the UK defense, might as well be the Ukrainian defense, Minister Ben Wallace said he was open-minded to the idea. "I constantly reviewed the weapon systems that we could provide," says Wallace to the Parliament. The United Kingdom, he said, had potential weapon systems that are longer, and should the Russians continue to target civilian areas and try to break the Geneva Conventions, then I will be open-minded to see what we do next. Since Moscow began its invasion of Ukraine on February 24th, the United Kingdom has provided Ukraine with a total of $4.65 billion in support, including weapons, military training, and humanitarian assistance. On November 19th, UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak visited Kiev, where he pledged an additional $61 million to the Ukrainian war effort. That was an article that was wrote by the Epoch Times. Much obliged to the Epoch Times. Ukraine has now lost, and the number is probably higher, 7,020 tanks and armored military vehicles. 7,020. Does that sound like the Ukrainians are winning? We are seeing a war of attrition right now. And I'm going to give you my prediction on this. But I firmly believe that we are going to be pulled into this war by summer. It makes a whole lot of sense for times that don't make sense right now. The reason why it makes sense is because with everything that you see going on right now, it appears that we have to have elements of chaos consistently being thrown about. And I believe America is going to walk right into war open war with Russia. That explains the need to have women in the service for the draft. All these things are going to come to a head by spring, summertime. The Biden administration have already said that the digital dollar should be lurking about and active at that time. Who knows really what that means? Currently, from what's reported, we're close to a dozen states that are reporting some sort of a kinetic firearms-related attack on the power grids. And I still state that we should be expecting some sort of a cyber attack. Cyber attack on either the banking financial institutions, power grids, probably somewhere within the United States federal government will have some sort of a crack in one of their infrastructures and data will leak out. It happens every couple years. You can really predict this. But I think it's interesting that all these things come up. And with Twitter, Elon Musk and his Twitter now blowing the doors off of what social normality used to be and effectively waging a war against Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, the deep state. I don't know really what to think of that, but I say, go Elon, go. If you're going to do it, Elon, go the whole way. We will back you. But we are still dealing with the repercussions of a failed election again. And I am not afraid to say it, that Joe Biden is not my president. Joe Biden is an illegitimate president. And Donald Trump is the president. I'm not afraid to say that. But these things are going to, I believe, continue to grow like birthing pains until eventually America gives birth to this second great incursion, rebellion, civil conflict, civil war. I hate to sound like such a broken record, but I'm going to beat this horse until it stands back up and I get to beat it to death again. We are going to have a civil conflict in this country. We are going to. It's probably going to occur 2024, late 2023. But when you already have Jamie Dimon, the head of JP Morgan, saying the crash is coming, and now you have other members of the economic status that's saying the crash is coming, the economic crash will prelude war. Historically, you can see how this happens. And what are we going to do when we are a nation filled full of broke people, losing their homes, losing their cars, losing their jobs, and the border is wide open still? Did you hear about what happened last night in El Paso? I've worked this very sector. I guarantee it. I've worked in this exact same sector where the Border Patrol said over 1,000 people came over in 1 hour. That doesn't sound like a lot, but when there's more than likely maybe 8 guys, 10 guys working that sector to deal with that many people, who knows what came left or right of that group. So if you don't know this, this is what happens. The cartels will send large groups of people, and they'll time it to about every 30 minutes they send a group of people. And what that does is that ties us up just long enough that they can pass the fentanyl to the right, the weapons to the left, the terrorists right up the middle. And we almost never get to really make those catches because we're dealing with sprinting family units. And as this occurs more and more every day, and as this administration continues to beat down our good men and women of the Border Patrol every day and not support them, more people are going to leave, and it's going to leave more gaps open. Eventually, the right, wrong kind of person is going to cross that border with the right, wrong kind of weapon. And we are going to pay dramatically for it. Dramatically. I don't know how many times I've told the story, but I'll tell it again. Back in 2018, when the border surge crisis was occurring and tens of thousands of people were coming across the border, we were having to deal with people of all different types of ethnologies, race, from everywhere around the world. And this is when Ebola was a big thing. This is before COVID, guys. You had Ebola, you had plague, you had SARS, you had MERS, H1N1, all different types of flavors of fevers. There was this weird fungus thing that was eating the skin off of people that were killing them within days of being in our inside of our custody. And then we would take these people, being in the same truck with people with tuberculosis, polio, vaccine-resistant stuff, right? And then we go and we bring them to these soft shelters, and we process them, and then they do riots there or protests. Well, you know, there'll be a whole group of Cuban women who had a sit-down hunger strike because they weren't getting whatever it is that they wanted. You know, these things tie up the hands of the men and women that should be protecting our country. And now Border Patrol in El Paso has over 5,000 detainees in their custody. When I worked at the prison complex for the Federal Bureau of Jurisdiction, we had a camp, a low, a medium, which was always rocking. That's where all the murders happened at. And then a penitentiary. So, and I always worked at the penitentiary. Occasionally I got to pull some overtime in the low, which was good. But the damn medium, that was a hellhole. But between the low prison, low security prison, and the high security prison, there was almost 5,000 people. Almost. So we had that amount of people in just two of our prisons. Border Patrol has more than that. That's coming over every day. And they're being forced to release the migrants, the immigrants, the people coming over illegally. They're being forced to release them in the streets. And I'll tell you what's gone up. Crime has gone up. How shocking. Crime has gone up. Homelessness has gone up. These people who come over, they're getting free education, free health care, free vehicles, free phones. Everybody gets a damn free phone. Everybody gets a free smartphone. And then everybody gets some sort of a living allowance. They get eventually their own place to stay in. While many of you listening to me right now fight tooth and nail every month to stay in your home and pay your bills. This is going to be the future of America. We are going to be a homeless state. A transient state. The transient state of America. There is no way to clog up this drain right now. I don't even know if we get a new administration in between the amount of bitching that the Democrats and the Republicans seem to do and getting nothing done in Congress and at the Senate, that we could even plug the hole that is the border. Sometimes the best walls are men with guns. But if we're not going to enforce the laws and we're going to continue to allow human trafficking, which is what we're talking about, sex trade trafficking, child trafficking, if we're going to continue to do this, the world is going to continue to send us their unwanted. And many of these people fleeing from all around the world, 90% of them aren't bad people, but they're not going through the process to be vetted. And when they get here, they get to bleed the system dry. And eventually you won't have a Social Security. Eventually you won't have a retirement plan. Eventually I won't have a disability that I get from the VA, because it'll be bled dry. We won't have a way to come about and pay for this anymore. The Department of Defense, once again, the Pentagon, just failed another $2 trillion audit. I keep saying it. Last time they failed something like that, we had a 9/11. And I still predict we're going to have a very big terrorist attack. Stand by for that one. It's going to happen. We are due a terrorist attack. Right now, we got blizzard warnings that are being issued in multiple states as a major winter storm is pushing west to east across America. So even though we have people running around the country taking advantage of our very weak infrastructure, our power grid infrastructure, nature is going to outdo them and probably take out a lot of power for a lot of people unpredictably across the country. So be prepared. Get prepared now. Get a generator if you don't have one now. And get the gas for it now. And make sure you run it before you do anything. And if you go to get a generator, guys, all right, what are you going to run on it? Are you going to run, are you going to be running your refrigerator, your deep freeze, your TV? Is it going to be a way that you heat your home? Think about this before you buy this, because you don't need to overload the generator. So buy something big enough that you can still move around, but you know, something that you can run what you need. I know I'm probably going to pick up another, probably two generators within the next month, because in Texas, January to spring now, we have a very bad time for winter. So, you know, be smart with what you're buying for your generators. Know where to store your fuel. Don't store your fuel out in the wide open. Have some sort of a container that has holes in it so that fumes don't build up in it. Make sure that container is nowhere near anything electrical or fire related. I know I have to say that. Some people don't think like that, and that's okay if you don't. Just know that fuel goes boom, so don't put it near anything where you're going to get static electricity, any type of random flames from a fire pit or anything like that. Water, make sure you get plenty of bottle of water. I would say that you need, honestly, the easiest thing to do is just to go to whatever store that you go and shop at the most and get at least, and I'm going to be random when I say this, but 10 to 20 cases of water. That should do you for quite a bit. All right. That should do you for quite a bit. And here's something that a lot of people don't understand. When the power goes out, you run out of water very quickly. So you could buy gallons of water that are very cheap that you can use to flush your toilet with, that you can use to possibly bathe with. But the bottles of water, keep those specifically for drinking, okay? Food. Have some sort of a food source for when the power goes out that you can eat, that you can snack on, and not have to worry about a big mess. All right. And I'm going to push something here. So, you know, take it for what it's worth. But the meals ready to eat from Peak Refuel, I'm fixing to have to buy like my fourth order of it. I eat this stuff all the time. Never hurts my stomach, never makes me feel bad after I eat it. It's very good food. tastes very good, at least. And I've had all different types of stuff. And I'm not going to knock anybody in the type of product that they sell. I'm just going to tell you that from my personal experience of eating meals ready to eat for 15 years, no one comes close to Peak Refuel. I absolutely love this stuff. So if the lights went out here, I've already thought about these things. That's why we have a propane stove. But if the lights go out here, I have the ability to just boil water and put it in my Peak Refuel bags, let it sit for 10 minutes, as the instruction says, and then I'm good. The kids eat it, and that's the most important thing as a parent, is will the kids eat it? So the kids eat it, it fills up their little bellies. I don't care what it tastes like. It could be sawdust and crackers, and I'm going to eat it. You know, as long as it's nutritional, which it is, as long as it's not overly filled with sodium, which it's not, and it's filling, which it also is, then Peak Refuel, I think, is the way that a lot of people need to go. Honestly, if the power goes out for any reason, if you're in a natural disaster, if you're in Tornado Alley, all right, you can have some of these Peak Refuel bags, and you can have, what the hell is it that I use? The little Sterno burners. You know, they're very, very easy to use. You can get them at most sporting goods places. Just boil your water real quick on a jet boil. That's it. The jet boil system. I use that almost daily at this point for making instant coffee that my wife got me hooked on, or tea or whatever, especially if I'm out in the back, like I am right now, trying to clear out timber in the Back Creek area, because for one thing, that's where I'm building a little, bushcraft camp, and that's also where my gun range is, but that'll also be where I'll have more area for sheep and goats to go out and graze. But you know, I like having stuff that I can just easily put in a little kit. I can carry it wherever I need to. If I have a storm shelter, I'd put some in the storm shelter. All right, it's very economic to buy this type of stuff. It doesn't cost a lot. That, and because it's the jet boil the way that it is, you're not going to get fumes. So if you are stuck in a storm shelter or in, you know, your garage or wherever in the hell it is that you're at, you're not going to kill yourself from being fumigated. So that's also a good thing. All right. So moving on. So I am a subscriber to a group called the Ford Observer. Some of you who email me readily, thank you very much for everyone who emails me, and we keep in connection with each other. I think that's a good thing for all of us to be able to speak to one another and pass intel back and forth as we get it. But I have really grown to like this organization, Ford Observer. It's a veteran-owned company. It gives you daily situational awareness reports, and also weekly reports, kind of captivating everything that's happening within the intel community nationwide, and what's happening for intelligence purposes nationwide. I think it's a very, very good company. So this is from December 9th. Today is December 12th. So I want to read to you some of the things that's on here. They talk about things that are happening inside the Beltway, things that are happening domestically. Here's for the domestic part. This is the analyst comments on here. Threats to energy critical infrastructure continue to be a domestic concern. Former Federal Energy Regulatory Commission Chairman John Willinghoff said that he couldn't recall another month with this many physical attacks against the power grid. Energy and food price inflation remain a short-term domestic concern. The shutdown of the Keystone Pipeline following the spill in Kansas will put pressure on fuel prices as refineries are cut off from 600,000 barrels of oil per day. Food prices are outpacing inflation, especially meat prices. Increased input costs for ranchers due to drought and high fuel prices, and the avian flu outbreak, which has killed 52 million turkeys and other poultry so far this year, have pushed beef and poultry prices higher at the grocery store. Now, as a poultry farmer, By now, I would already have a lot of turkeys, but there's a shortage. All right, we have a waiting list from our customers to receive our birds, and they're probably on a 5-month waiting list right now. Everything is down. The prices for all the feed has gone up. Even the prices for the warming light bulbs have gone up. So, you know, and we're a very small scale. We're a very, very small scale. But for the bigger guys that are out there, this is where, you know, your Tyson meats and all that, this is going to really cut into the food chain. And many of you out there are going to see and feel the cost of these birds not being here in a couple months. It's going to hit you. It's going to hit you in a couple months. You know, you got to understand that all the big soup cans industries, where do you think they buy all their poultry from? You know, all the big stores, where do you think they buy their poultry from? Everyone. Anyone that has anything. The small stores, the small restaurants, where do you think they get their poultry from? A lot of times they go local, which is something that I would love to get into one day. But you know, this is a hard time for the growing season, for farmers, for ranchers. And, you know, this is once again one of the reasons why I tell people you need to buckle down now while the produce is there, while the meat is there, while the product is still out. You know, I think people live on a day by day in America, and they don't see from the 30,000 foot view, as I do, that we're etching ever close to a actual disaster in this country, especially should we ever go to war like what we're probably going to with Russia. We're already short on so many things right now, fuel being just the least of them. Food, medication, ammunition, men and women in the workforce. Strikes are happening all over the place. Diesel trucks may stop moving here in a couple months. The trains can always go for another strike. You know, the price has gone up on everything. We're not even in war yet. Just think what happens when war starts. Or when the first real big power attack happens. Or the banking attacks happen. They're going to happen. They're going to happen. You might as well just go ahead and stop saying I'm crazy and get prepared for that one. Or don't get prepared. That always goes really well for people when they're not prepared. I've been watching videos of people in Ukraine. And they are taking old soup cans and pots. And they're going to puddles of water in the parking lots, and that's how they've been getting their water. That is a human tragedy that could have been avoided. Now, we can't avoid every war, especially whenever our governments want them, but you can at least prevent it before it happens to you. You can get the things you need, learn the skills you need, buy the books you need. If you don't have the time to learn the skills, at least you have something to fall back on as a manual. Law enforcement agencies are investigating 8 incidents at power stations in 4 different states that occurred in the last month. Following the attacks on power substations in Moore County, North Carolina on the 3rd of December, there was a shooting at a Duke Energy facility, Ridgeway, in South Carolina, Wednesday evening. In late November, there were 2 attacks on substations in Clackamas County, Oregon. According to federal documents obtained by an NBC affiliate in Florida, there were at least 6 incidents in September at a Duke Energy facilities in Florida, when intruders broke in and manually turned off equipment, causing outages. Manually broke in and started flipping switches. That's how easy it was. I've said this before and I'll say it again, especially to those of you who like to get involved in the political atmosphere or love to have your rallies every weekend about every issue in the world. Go and ask your city council, are you prepared for this? What are we going to do when this happens? Have we hardened our grid? Have we hardened the ability for people to interfere with daily operations of our power grid or our water treatment facility or a hospital? You may be surprised at the answer that you don't get. The House voted to pass a compromise 2023 National Defense Authorization Act, that's the NDAA, including a $76 billion increase in spending and a repeal of the military COVID-19 vaccine mandate. Pentagon spokesperson Sabrina Singh said that the vaccination is still a readiness issue, and a repeal could harm the health of military personnel. What bullshit? COVID is not going to harm the health of our military personnel. A lack of discipline, testicular fortitude, and good equipment is going to harm the health. Are we battling COVID still, Pentagon? Or are we battling transgenderism? Or cisgenderism, that's a new word I've learned. It's a war on straight people. I tell you, I've had enough of this. I have had a absolute enough of people trying to tell me or trying to convince us, because I think when I speak for me, I speak for we, that we need to accept transgenderism. Even people within the LGBTQRSIACUV group are having problems with this now, because this entire transgenderism movement has taken its own ugly turn and created its own monster out of it. You know, I'm listening to Jordan Peterson earlier, arguing with this lady, and it is a lady, who pretends to be a man. Hope you signed up for social services. Hope your name's on the draft. But this lady who just got tenure as a professor in Canada and is saying that it's a violent thing to misgender somebody. I'll show you violence. You want to be a man. That's not a problem. And isn't it funny? You have these very confused women who say, oh, I want to be a man today. Okay, well, when the building is on fire, you're staying here with me. Because women and children go first. We'll see if they still want to be a man then. They don't. This is taking advantage of weak people and weak mindsets. See, once again, the good times that we have caused, that we fought for with our modern industrial revolutions, fighting the war against Nazi ideology and communism. And then we had an element of peace, and people took full advantage of that peacetime, and they created a globalized effect of dehumanizing people. And it's worked. They've been doing it since the 60s. It's worked very well. And now we have these freak shows, and I'm not afraid to say it. They're freak shows that show up and they say, your five-year-old little Billy is actually a little Susie. That's dangerous. They want to say that misgendering a transgender person is dangerous. No, I think going along with people's mental, delusion, I think that's more dangerous. But then again, I've said this before, I'll say it again, I just want to be left alone. So go do what you want at your house, stay the hell away from mine, and I won't burn your house down. That's kind of the way the world has worked for a very long time. And since, and I've watched these people, they go to a Jordan Peterson rally or whatever, show, event that he's putting on, and they're the ugliest people that you've ever seen. And I'm not talking about physically, I could care less. And talking about the way that they speak and treat other people. You know, they're more than ready to go the violent route. Which, go figure, because they're all men. Even the women have become men, and they all want to go violent. I say let one good group of men go out there and whip the dog shit out of them. That'll stop that. That'll put an end to that real fast. But once again, I'm a cisgendered, sexist, white supremacist, white male, apparently, because I believe in God and I believe in man and woman only for a marriage, so whatever. Food prices. Let's get back on to food prices. Food prices are up at 22.5%. Meat is up 25%, while overall inflation is up at 15.2%. A report on the Food and Drug Administration Human Food Program by the Reagan-Udall Foundation recommended structural and cultural reforms to the agency to address shortfalls in the program. The report recommended implementing a clear chain of authority over the currently independent components of the food program and establishing an advisory. Oh, my Lord. That's what we want. We want the government to tell us how and what to eat. That'll work out well for us. You know, as I read through these reports, guys, I just shake my head more and more as I see America losing our international footing, dealing in general with Russia and China. But listen to some of this stuff, all right? The Russian media is claiming that the United States Army's recent acquisition of the Typhon truck-mounted missile system will lead to a second Euro-missile crisis. Alexander Ermakov of the Institute of the World Economy and International Relations claims that the United States Army intends to stand up 5 units around these systems, with 1 being in Germany. The Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty banned these systems, but the U.S. left that agreement in 2018. Russia said previously that it would not place medium-range nuclear missiles in its European territory unless the U.S. did so first. Placing the Typhon system in Germany would likely result in Russia responding in kind. This tit-for-tat is going to cause us to go into a nuclear war. All right, here's what's happening in China and the Indo-Pacific. President Xi Jinping and King Salman bin Abdulaziz Al Saud signed several strategic agreements to align their Belt and Road Initiative and vision for 2030. The deals included teaching the Chinese language, green energy development, and cloud computing services using Huawei. If you didn't know this, it used to be Saudi Arabia and the United States that did these types of deals. Now Saudi Arabia has gone elsewhere. That's not a good thing. All right. So here's the next thing I want to read to you. You hear me and Dave Hodges speak about the Kigali principles quite a bit. And once again, big shout out to Ford Observer. Super cheap. It's like $10 a month to get really, really good intel. And I think it's one of the best services out there that you can get. So my hat's off to those guys. Check them out. Ford Observer. All right, so I want to read to you the Kigali Principles on the Protection of Civilians. So some people ask me, now I got to get my glasses on, you know, what is this Kigali Principles? You guys throw this around all the time, especially when we talk about, Civil War in America. Well, I'm going to read to you this real quick document and let you know just exactly what we're talking about. All right. So this is coming straight from the document, the Kigali Principles on the Protection of Civilians. Can't wait to burn this right after I get done reading it. We, as member states endorsing the Kigali Principles on the Protection of Civilians and in line with our commitment to the effective implementation of protection of civilians mandates and peace operations, hereby pledge. This is what they plan on doing. And this is United Nations, by the way. One, to train all of our troops on the protection of civilians prior to their deployment to missions. Two, to ensure that our sector and contingent commanders, as well as our nominees for mission leadership positions, have a high level of training and preparedness on peacekeeping operations and, in particular, the protection of civilians. You're going to hear this reference a lot, the protection of civilians. Three, to be prepared to use force to protect civilians as necessary and consistent with the mandate. Such action encompasses making a show of force as a deterrent, interpositioning our forces between armed actors and civilians, and taking direct military action against armed actors with clear hostile intent to harm civilians. Number four, not to stipulate caveats or other restrictions that prevent us from fulfilling our responsibility to protect civilians in accordance with the mandate. Number five, to identify and communicate the United Nations any resource and capability gaps that inhibit our ability to protect civilians. To identify and communicate to the United Nations any resource and capability gaps that inhibit our ability to protect civilians, which more or less means they will do whatever they seem necessary at the time to accomplish their mission of protecting civilians. Right. Number six, to strive within our capabilities to contribute the enabling capabilities, such as helicopters, to peacekeeping operations that facilitate improved civilian protection. Number seven, to avoid undue delay in protecting civilians by investing our contingent commander with the authority to use force to protect civilians in urgent situations without the need for further consultations with capitals. Number eight, not to hesitate to take action to protect civilians in accordance with the rules of engagement in the absence of an effective host government response or demonstrated willingness to carry out its responsibilities to protect civilians, which means they will attack whoever they deem necessary, whenever they deem necessary, to protect whoever they deem necessary. Number nine, to demand clarity from the United Nations and mission leadership on our rules of engagement, including under which circumstances the use of force is appropriate, which use of force is appropriate. Number 10, to seek to identify as clearly as possible potential threats to civilians and proactively take steps to mitigate such threats and otherwise reduce the vulnerability of the civilian population. Number 11, to seek to enhance the arrangements for rapid deployment, including by supporting a full review of the United Nations standby agreements and arrangements, exploring a system in which earmarked units from troop and police contributing countries could be placed in readiness in order to ensure rapid troop deployment, and encouraging the utilization of partnerships with regional organizations such as the African Union and its REC. Number 12, to be vigilant in monitoring and reporting any human right abuses or signs of impending violence in the areas in which our personnel serve. Number 13, to take disciplinary action against our own personnel if and when they fail to act to protect civilians when circumstances warrant such action. Number 14, to undertake our own review in parallel to any after-action review in the event that our personnel are unable to protect civilians, and identify and share key lessons for avoiding such failures in the future. Protecting civilians, which means people died. Number 15, to hold our own personnel to the highest standard of conduct, and to vigorously investigate and, where appropriate, prosecute any incidents of abuse. Does anyone think that nations from Africa, the Middle East, or China would actually, hold the highest standard of conduct and vigorously investigate their own people? I don't believe that for a bit. Number 16, to better implement protection of civilians' mandates and deliver on our responsibilities, we request better, regular, and more extensive consultations on the mandating of peacekeeping missions. When mandates of peacekeeping missions are under review and may change, it should also be mandatory for the Security Council to consult all troop and police contributing countries deployed to the mission. We commit to bring our own ideas and solutions to these consultations that can strengthen the implementation of protection of civilian mandates. Number 17, two left. To urge the Security Council to ensure that mandates are matched with the requisite resources and to commit to support our process that addresses that current critical resource gap in several missions. We support a more phased mandating process that can ensure a better alignment of resources and mandates. More or less, they're going to give themselves permission to do whatever they need to in whatever host country they're in. All right, finally, number 18. Noting that any well-planned mandate implementation may be undermined by inefficient mobility, logistics, or support, the call for effective support of all military plans, including contingency plans, and to commit to work with the Secretariat to review the current support arrangements, including possible transfer of authority over more of the logistical capability to the military component where appropriate. So this is one, the member state endorsements as of the 31st July 2018. These are who, if America ever goes into World War III, or let's just say, and I'm going to give you the hypothetical, we lose all power in America because of terrorism, like what's happening recently, and then we have civil war because nobody can agree who's going to be the president, which has been happening, all right? And all this drama takes an actual kinetic result on the streets of where you live, and this declaration is ever called, the blue hats are coming. So who are they? Australia, Austria, Bangladesh, Belgium, Benin, Burkina Faso, Canada, Djibouti, Cote d'Ivoire, Estonia, Ethiopia, Finland, France, former Yugoslavia, Republic of Macedonia, Germany, Ghana, Guyana, Ireland, Italy, Latvia, Lithuania, Malawi, Montenegro, Nepal, Netherlands. Well, that's a long trip from Nepal. New Zealand, Niger, Norway, Poland, Portugal, Romania, Rwanda, Senegal, Slovakia, Slovenia, Spain, Sri Lanka, Sweden, Tanzania, Thailand, Togo, Ukraine, Uganda, United Kingdom, United States, Uruguay, and Zambia. Where's China at? Oh, they're not on here. They'll be added. Don't worry. They'll be added because China will gladly take up the infrastructure on that part. They're starting to do lockdowns again in California, apparently in L.A. Los Angeles is starting to have a lockdown procedures again and mask results coming back. So, yippee, hooray, prepare for that. The chaos and the ensuing panic is coming. We're building back up to it. No one holds any political party accountable. No one holds the military-industrial complex accountable, and nobody is holding the medical-industrial complex accountable. So all these entities can do whatever the hell they want. It is up to you to be prepared. It's up to you to prepare. It's up to you to train properly so that if need be, you can walk a long distance or jog or run from a riotous mob. It is up to you to have physical training so that you can have the strength to possibly pick up somebody and move them in case of an emergency, or to pick up your kids and to move them. There are a lot of weak bodies out there, men, and you ain't got an excuse. Get out there and train. If you have the physical mobility to do it, you should be getting out there and training. Firearms related, it's a really good idea to train with your weapons so that, for one, should a jam ever happen, you know how to clear the malfunction. Two, that you don't shoot yourself when you're going into a room. Three, that you don't shoot somebody that doesn't need to be shot. Know your target and what lies beyond. Keep your fingers straightened off the trigger until you're ready to fire. These are some of the things that I teach. We're going to have a class going on late January between myself and Steve Reyes. Steve Reyes is a former Special Forces 18 Delta medic. He'll be teaching the medical side. I'll be teaching the kinetic side. And it may end up being 5 days long. Right now, that's what we're looking at. We want to have a really, really long period of time where we teach you as much as possible, make the money that you're going to be spending worth it, because right now, between the money and travel, you know, things are hard, and I get that. But, you know, we want to provide the best amount of training for people. And we're also talking about doing a long-range reconnaissance patrol where we teach people how to be a gray man. And that whole Get Home series, if you are, you know, 500 miles from home, 100 miles from home, and the great EMP event finally happens, and you have to get out on your feet and walk home, and all you got is whatever you got shoved in your rucksack, well, we are right now planning on how to put a course together to let you experience that with your own gear. All right, that's the greatest type of training that you can get is next to close as possible. So, you know, and this training that we're talking about is going to be very, very intense. And it's going to be super fun. A good time for men and women to be able to come together and, share knowledge together, but also a little bit of fellowship. So if you're interested in that, you can email me, AmericanVindictiveShow.com. Or AmericanVindictiveShow@gmail.com. The website's been down for a few days. It should be back up today or tomorrow. So my apologies to that. Thank you for everyone who's emailed me. I'm going to be putting on more stuff on YouTube and Rumble. I'm going to be putting some short videos up there. And, guys, right now I have two strikes on YouTube, so we'll see how long I last. But, you know, I've had a lot of commitment from a few of you who've done donations, and my Lord, the amount of donations I've got when I asked for this call, you truly helped out a lot. And if you want to help donate to the American Vindictus Show, we have a donation place that's there on the website where you can actually find out where you want to donate to. There is a Give, Send, Go, which seems to be the easiest way for people to do the donations right now. Give, Send, Go, American Vindicta Show. It pops up immediately. Tomorrow we're going to have Bob Griswold on. We're going to be talking about some guns and gears and gadgets and all that cool stuff. He does have a special going on right now for night vision, for white phosphorus, $3,595 for a white phosphorus unit. You may not consider it. Some of you may think that, you know, it's not a purchase that's needed, but I promise you, if you're on the border or if you're in an area next to a large Democratic area where there's an increase in violence, you're going to want to know who's going in and about your area, especially if you live out in the rural areas like me and we lose power. It is behooving of you to see in the dark. And we'll have more of this to speak on tomorrow. So for right now, thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow. Stay frosty. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.